Elephants can't talk, but these guys can. You listen to Elephant Talk on CHLY 101.7.
All right. I'm going to just intro this interview with a little article. It was actually originally published in October 2004, and it was just recently updated. So it's the people who wrote it was Focus on the Global South and Grain, which is a group there on grain.org. For generations, small farmers in Iraq operated in an essentially unregulated informal seed supply system. Farm-saved seed and the free innovation with an exchange of planting materials among farming communities has long been the basis of agricultural practice. This is now history. The Coalition Provisional Authority has made it illegal for Iraqi farmers to reuse seeds harvested from new varieties registered under the law. Iraqis may continue to use and save from their traditional seed stocks, or what's left of them, after the years of war and drought. But that is not the agenda for reconstruction embedded in the ruling. The purpose of the law is to facilitate the establishment of a new seed market in Iraq, where transnational corporations, such as Monsanto, can sell their seeds, genetically modified or not, which farmers would have to purchase afresh every single cropping season. While historically the Iraqi constitution prohibited private ownership of biological resources, the new U.S.-imposed patent law introduces a system of monopoly rights over seeds. Inserted into Iraq's previous patent law is a whole new chapter on plant variety protection that provides for the protection of new varieties of plants. The plant variety protection is an intellectual property right, or a kind of patent for plant varieties, which gives an exclusive monopoly right on planting material to a plant breeder who claims to have discovered or developed a new variety. So the quote protection in plant variety protection has nothing to do with conservation, but refers to safeguarding of the commercial interests of private breeders, usually large corporations, claiming to have created the new plants. And now we have on the phone our interview, and she's going to talk a little bit more about Canada's role in all of this, and that was just to give you a bit of international perspective.
That's right. We have on the line right now from North Carolina, Hope Shand. Are you there, Hope?
Yes, I am.
Thanks very much for taking the time to talk with us this morning.
I'm delighted to be with you.
So you are with a group called ETC. First, could you tell us what does ETC stand for and what do you guys do?
Well, I should say that ETC Group, etc. Group, is based in Ottawa. We are an international civil society organization. We conduct research and we do advocacy work on issues related to the impact of new technologies on agriculture and on marginalized communities and what this means for human rights and society. I'm based in North Carolina, but the organization's headquarters are in Ottawa. We're a very small organization, but we have small offices in the United States, in Mexico, and in the UK, in Oxford.
Could you tell our audience a little about the Terminator seed? I think many people might have an idea what it is, but maybe let's just get your impression of it.
Yeah, the important thing to stress is to say that the Terminator technology has not yet been commercialized, but I'm referring to plants that are genetically modified to render their seeds sterile at harvest time. And this technology is being developed by the multinational seed industry and was also being developed by the U.S. government, by the U.S. Department of Agriculture. As I said, it was developed for the purpose of preventing farmers from reusing saved seed from their harvest and basically to maximize seed industry profits. That's the bottom line.
So it's kind of like creating a new market. The way that plants and seeds grow and propagate, it's kind of a very collective thing, and by creating them as sterile, I guess it creates a new market, because then there's a need, right? You have to keep going back to the companies.
Well, I think it's really important to point out that farmers have been saving seed from their harvest for and reusing that seed for over 10,000 years. I mean, this is a fundamental human right, a farmer's right to save seed and reuse it. And, of course, the multinational seed industry, which now dominates the worldwide seed industry, would like to have a biological mechanism to prevent farmers from reusing harvested seed. They've tried to do this through the legal mechanism of patents. And, of course, many of your listeners might know about the famous case of Percy Schmeiser, who was sued by the Monsanto Corporation because of they felt that he was infringing their patent rights on genetically modified canola. In fact, Percy Schmeiser was a victim of genetic contamination because his farm was invaded by unwelcome and unwanted cross-pollination from GM seeds from neighboring farms.
Mm-hmm. That was right here in Canada.
Yeah, but ultimately the Supreme Court of Canada did rule that Percy infringed the patent rights of Monsanto. Now, of course, it's not very good public relations to be suing your customers the way that Monsanto has been doing. So you can imagine that for these seed companies, the idea of having a terminator technology is sort of like the holy grail of biotechnology for these companies. And you have to understand that these companies are now desperately seeking to increase their market share by penetrating new markets in the developing world, especially countries like India, China, Brazil, Argentina. That's where there's the growth in the seed markets. Today, the commercial seed market worldwide is worth about $23 billion, but the total market, including farmer-saved seed and state-run seed programs, is about twice that, around $45 billion. But there's a problem for the seed companies. They don't want to introduce their patented seeds in third world countries that don't enforce patents and where farmers are routinely saving harvested seeds. So the solution, of course, is Terminator seeds. And I want to stress what a big deal this is. Over 1.4 billion people depend, mostly in the developing world, depend on farm-saved seed as their primary seed source. That's about three-quarters of the world's farmers who routinely save seed from their harvest and exchange seed with their farm neighbors.
It's also what's created really high-quality variations of certain plants, isn't it, through saving it. It's kind of like a long-term form of genetic modification, really, where you get better and better strains through saving it.
Well, it's really the foundation for sustainable agriculture in many ways. I mean, seed selection, the idea that you're selecting seeds that are adapted to your environment and to your local needs, that idea of community plant breeding is the foundation for local food security. And when farmers lose the ability to do that, to save seeds, select their own seeds, and do their own local community plant breeding, they risk becoming dependent on outside sources of seeds, which is a dangerous and very vulnerable situation for food security.
I understand that they have Terminator varieties or suicide seeds. They're all, is that the same thing?
Yes, there are many kind of nicknames for Terminator seed. Our organization actually gave that moniker Terminator technology to this idea. The seed industry now has various names. They like to call it technology protection system, or at the United Nations, the term they use is genetic use restriction technology, GERT.
So it sounds like the United Nations have quite a benign view of it then.
Well, they certainly have a more polite way of referring to it, but actually back in 1998, when we first took this issue to the United Nations Convention on Biological Diversity, many, many countries were very alarmed, and there was an avalanche of public opposition to this technology when it was first unveiled back in 1998. And so the Convention on Biological Diversity by the year 2000 did have a strong recommendation basically putting in effect, I would say, a de facto moratorium, saying that, you know, we just don't know enough about this, and we think that it should not be approved for field testing or commercialization. Now, what they have in effect is is weak, fragile language, but that, as we saw a few weeks ago in Bangkok at another United Nations meeting, was there's a big attempt right now to overturn that de facto moratorium.
Okay, let's talk about Bangkok now, because that's where Canada, who a lot of people like to think of as this wonderful nation of peacekeepers and polite fence sitters, went to bat for Terminator seed technology, right? So now you were at the meeting, Hope.
That's right.
Tell us what happened.
The meeting was basically a scientific advisory body to the Convention on Biological Diversity, and we knew that Terminator technology was on the agenda, but no one expected to see this really essentially a coup that was led by the Canadian government to making a recommendation for allowing for the field testing and commercialization of Terminator technology. And as you said, it was really quite shocking and really disgraceful to see the Canadian government taking the lead on this. And just a piece of background that's important to understand is that the United States government is not a signatory to the Convention on Biological Diversity. So in this case, we see the Canadian government stepping up to do the dirty work for the U.S. government and, of course, for the multinational seed industry, which I should also say was present in force at the Bangkok meeting. This is a United Nations meeting where we didn't used to see a strong industry presence in the corridors, but on this particular issue, they came out in force, and it was quite alarming, really. We were very fortunate. We were leaked a document that was the position paper of the Canadian government on Terminator technology. We got this before the negotiations, the first day of the meeting, before the actual issue came up on the floor. And so we immediately issued a news release bringing attention to the Canadian government's position. And one of the most disturbing things about it was, and you can see this on our website if anyone who wants to actually see the actual wording of the Canadian government's position, it's on our website, which is www.etcgroup.org. But one of the things they said was that they would, if they didn't get their way, they would block consensus. And that's, that's a disgraceful way to act, I think,
They would block consensus. What does that mean?
It really means that they would prevent any other language from going through if it was not the strong language that was basically recommending field testing.
So they wouldn't agree to a watering down or to a compromise, in other words.
Even if everyone else agreed.
Exactly. Now, fortunately, back here in Canada, when we were over in Bangkok, the word got out. I think many, many, not just farmers, but consumers, citizens, responded immediately with email letters of protest and telephone calls to the ministries. And what we saw the next day was that the Canadian government, while it didn't reverse its position, it did not make a strong public statement as it had planned. We know that they were still supporting a position in favor of Terminator technology behind the scenes, but they were not outwardly taking the position that they had planned to. And it's all because of the response back home,
mm-hmm.
really, and because they were embarrassed. They were caught with their pants down, and it was very clear that they were working hand-in-hand with the multinational seed industry.
So, yeah, I want to ask you that now. Why is the Canadian government doing this? I mean, it seems like we have a lot of farmers here. I know a lot of them maybe aren't farming as much as they used to, but, you know, why are they doing this? What do they have to gain?
Well, I think it's a very good question. And, just by coincidence, on the last day of the meeting, Percy Schmeiser happened to be in Thailand, not because this issue was not because he was coming to the meeting in Bangkok, the UN meeting, but he just happened to be there. We found out that he was there. We brought him over to the UN meeting. He went straight up to the head of the Canadian delegation, and he said, "You people are not representing the Canadian people at this meeting. You are not representing the best interest of biodiversity, and I demand to know why you're doing this and where did you get your orders?" And basically the head of the delegation said, "Well, it's basically coming from foreign affairs."
Mm-hmm.
So we can't really answer your question except to say that there is enormous pressure by the industry to allow this technology to be developed. I think there's public opinion is not in Canada and in North America does not favor this technology. I mean, people who have nothing to do with agriculture instinctively know that this is an immoral and dangerous technology that is anti-farmer. And
it's anti-life.
Excuse me?
It's anti-life.
Absolutely, and it should never be allowed to be commercialized.
Well, that's one of the things that you is puzzling to me. You said earlier that it was declared, the UN, I guess, declared that we don't know enough about this yet, so we don't, in 1998. But I think that we know exactly enough about it to say that we should never allow this. This should be, you know, this
well,
should...
We agree with that 100%. And I think it is important to explain to your listeners that the industry argument, why they say we need this technology, you know, they have completely changed their take on this. Now they say that this Terminator technology is so important because it offers a tool for biosafety. And let me explain what that means.
Please do.
They're saying that we must have Terminator to prevent the escape of genes from genetically modified crops to related plants and wild relatives. Wow. They're arguing that this engineered sterility offers a built-in safety feature because if genes from a Terminator crop escape, the seed produced from unwanted pollination will not germinate. They'll be sterile. So the suggestion here is that, you know, well...
We've created a Frankenstein's monster, and now we've got to create something to catch it, it sounds
like
to me.
Well, that's right. I mean, these companies have insisted that genetic engineering is safe, it's precise, and it's predictable, but what we're seeing all over the world is that the unintended escape of engineered genes just shows the inability of regulatory bodies or the industry to control and contain genetically modified organisms. So basically what we have here is that the industry is saying that we must accept this new and dangerous and untested technology in order to clean up their genetic contamination problem.
I bet they were dying to say that that's what happened with Percy Schmeiser, that the GM seeds got into his farm, and that was one example of what they're trying to contain.
Right.
They wanted to say that he took the seeds, didn't they?
Yeah, but exactly. But we've seen incidents of gene flow from genetically engineered crops to related plants and wild relatives all over the world. And in Mexico, this is a severe problem where they've scientific studies have shown that there has been gene flow from genetically modified maize to the native corn varieties of indigenous farmers in Mexico, even though it's illegal to grow genetically modified corn in Mexico. What happened was that through humanitarian aid channels, the grain was introduced not as seed, but for food. But of course, farmers plant.
Mm-hmm.
They experiment with it. That's what farmers do, and that's how the genetically modified seed got into the farmers' fields. And of course, now not only do they have, you know, the contamination from genetically modified crops, but there's this whole new effort to develop what they call pharma crops, crops that produce pharmaceutical proteins or industrial products. And there, of course, there's a lot of concern that these products are going to get into the food supply. And so, again, the industry is saying, you know, well, we just have to have this Terminator technology to prevent that from happening. So, again, it's industry greenwashing. It's
yeah.
trying to convince people that there is a need to use this technology as a biosafety mechanism, and that's, first of all, we don't think it would work as a biosafety mechanism, but basically, if this technology is accepted under the guise of biosafety, it will be adopted everywhere to enforce industry monopoly.
I think
there's no question about that.
I think what kind of scares me as well is that a lot of people these days are seeing that we're living in an inherently unsustainable system, and what this does is kind of prop that up and erases ways for us to go back, because if these Terminator seeds get everywhere, at some point, if there is a system crash or if things drastically change and there isn't these big corporations around anymore, we're gonna have that taken out of our hands, the ability to grow our own food and to take care of ourselves independently and autonomously.
Well, that's right. And you know, the seed industry is arguing, well, you know, farmers should have choice, and wherever they have free choice, you know, that's a good thing. And I think we also just have to look at the reality of, you know, the market realities and the incredible corporate concentration that we've seen in the seed industry. Today, the world's three largest seed corporations are among the three largest agrochemical corporations in the world. And I think the real question is, will farmers have a choice? And the reality is that farmers will have far fewer options in the marketplace if this kind of technology comes to market. You know, now the seed industry is backtracking and saying, well, we don't really intend this Terminator seeds to go to these poor farmers, but there have been studies conducted by the Food and Agriculture Organization of the UN, and they show that, yeah, these Terminator is irrelevant for poor farmers. They can't afford to buy it anyway, but they will unintentionally gain access to Terminator seeds if they're commercialized, and that's going to happen, you know, if farmers who have to depend on humanitarian food aid, they risk devastating crop loss if they unknowingly use food aid containing Terminator genes as seed. And they already are predicting that would happen if these if Terminator technology is commercialized.
I guess you must have heard that they made it illegal in Iraq 3 weeks ago to save seeds.
Basically, that has to do with the provisional government being forced to accept provisions foisted upon them by the United States government. And, you know, it's really kind of unthinkable that the U.S. government would include in those things very strong provisions on intellectual property, including plant breeders' rights. And so basically what that provision says is that farmers are not allowed to save proprietary seed from their harvest. Now, in a country like Iraq, this doesn't really make any sense at all. But the idea is that in a few years, when they're, you know, if their economy is able to rebound, if once they start introducing commercial seeds, which are, of course, going to be introduced anyway through humanitarian aid, the seed companies want to have in place precisely that, provisions, legal provisions, that restrict the rights of farmers to reuse seed from their harvest. This is the trend that we're seeing all over the world. Farmers, indigenous peoples, are losing the right to use and develop their own crop diversity.
Also, when you're talking about in Bangkok, it was the Canadian government that was bringing this position forward. Who specifically is that? Like, what department or?
They had close to 18, I think it was 15 to 18 representatives on their delegation. The head of the delegation was Robert McLean from Environment Canada, but they also had a number of representatives who were actually doing some of the drafting of language on Terminator who were with Agri-Food Canada and the Plant Inspection Department. So it wasn't just a single ministry, but overlapped several of them. And that's, I'm sorry that I didn't bring home with me today the list of the delegation. But we can provide that information, and I think we may have posted that on our website as well.
And you said that they had told Percy Schmeiser that they were getting their orders or their pressure from the Foreign Affairs Department. So mm-hmm. Does that mean that, I mean, it sounds to me like they're receiving pressure from other countries. And
well,
I mean, you said that they're sort of doing the dirty work of the United States because the United States isn't able to make any, they're not a signatory to the
to the Convention on
Biological
Diversity. Yeah.
I mean,
well, I think that they were trying to say that they were getting their orders from the Foreign Affairs Department in Canada. But again, I do think they are getting enormous pressure to do the dirty work for the U.S. government and for the multinational seed industry.
Mm-hmm. You said there was no attempt to hide the fact that they were fraternizing with the multinational representatives and.
Oh, that's right. Absolutely. And I mean, you know, to be fair, I'm sure that they were also hanging out with other people. But it was very obvious to us that there was a lot of. In the corridors, a lot of talking with the seed industry. That was unmistakable.
Mm-hmm.
What I wanted to mention is that ultimately what happened at this meeting in Bangkok was that because the issue was so contentious, there was a drafting group of five countries, and the Canadian government was amongst that group of five countries. They came out with language on Terminator technology that looked to us as if it had been written by Monsanto. It was so bad. When that language came to the floor for debate, fortunately, there were some excellent interventions by governments like Norway, Sweden, Poland, the European Community, the Africa Group, and Cuba and Peru. And because of their interventions, the worst of the language was removed from that draft. And ultimately, the de facto moratorium was left in place. It's fragile. We know that we're going to see more attempts by governments and industry to weaken and to eliminate this moratorium. And that's why we and many other civil society organizations are pushing very hard for a strict ban on this technology. We just feel that that's the only thing to do at this point is to call for an all-out ban, a strict ban on the technology. If we don't do that, we'll continually see this eroding of the weak moratorium that's in place now. I think the image of Canada, they were one of the first countries to sign, maybe the first country to sign the Convention on Biological Diversity, and they host the secretariat of the convention in Montreal.
So is this stuff all lip service, the signing these conventions and that, when they go and completely defy this? I mean, why would they sign on to the Convention on Biodiversity?
Well, that was many years ago, too, and of course things do change over time. But it's very difficult to see the Canadian government adopting the position of a multinational seed industry on these issues.
There has been more of a commitment to what they call what they're calling deep integration with the American administration, with our new Prime Minister Paul Martin.
Mm-hmm.
So perhaps it has something to do with it.
I think it is important to make clear that Terminator technology has not been developed yet. It hasn't been field tested anywhere in the world that
okay.
we know of. It has been tested in greenhouses. We've been told that by the industry. So you're right, it is being developed. I think it's really important to emphasize that with genetically modified crops, there have been no consumer benefits. But genetically modified foods are not safer. They're not better tasting. They're not more nutritious. There have been no consumer benefits. And so maybe some citizens believe in direct action, and I think that more and more, if we see something like Terminator coming to market, there are going to be people who believe that that's what should happen. We haven't seen a great deal of that, but there are groups that do direct action on genetically modified seeds and foods.
Mm-hmm.
I personally think that if Terminator ever were commercialized, that it would be the biggest mistake that the seed industry ever made, because I really believe that there would be massive protest over the commercialization, even the threat of commercialization. There's been tremendous, just an avalanche of public opposition. And so this industry has a reputation for shooting itself in the foot.
Yeah.
And, I think we're gonna see more of that. So, but it's so important for people to understand, the greenwashing that's going on by industry, arguing that this is for biosafety, and how illogical and dangerous that kind of argument is.
Well, that's excellent. Thank you very much for all this information. And for your hard work in this as well.
That was Hope Shand from the ETC Group, phoning from North Carolina.
She has its headquarters in Ottawa.
Yeah, ETC has their headquarters in Ottawa, that's right. And talking about the Terminator seed and what's happened in the last 2 weeks.